Hello?
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 If you can hear this, it's not too late. I return to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel and pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our, I just had it, as Marty's open butt cheek.
Oh.
We will be your constants. I am Dez.
You mean his open butt flap? The butt flap?
Yes.
Oh, his open butt cheeks means something very different.
Like he's bleeding from his open butt cheek?
Oh, wow. This is getting off to a start.
His visible butt cheek.
His open butt flap in his pajamas.
That must be our science officer.
Ari.
Yay. And I'm Scott.
And this
is
Time Bomb.
You guys harmonize so well together, I thought I'd let you do it.
Happy Back to the Future Day, everybody!
Oh my god! It's time. It's the day we've waited 4 years for this?
Our whole lives for this.
What do you mean 4 years?
Time Pop has waited 4 years. I mean, the fact that we haven't been celebrating this annually
travesty
since this podcast started is...
Have we been doing this for 4 years?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Let's go back in time and visit the first ones.
Wow.
With the experience and knowledge of now.
There was a year that we didn't do anything, right? Well, there was like a pause.
There was a hiatus.
There was a time where we took a break.
In the past.
Yeah.
We started releasing last year in January, so it's going to be perfect. So this January, we'll start season 5.
Oh my God. And it is Back to the Future Day. Put on your life jackets, drink your tabs.
And give me a Pepsi for free.
You want a Pepsi for free, you got to pay for it. Play your duck hunt, drink your tabs, make out with your mothers.
Your consent for this one should have been great, Scott.
I know. You're right. Because we really are talking about all of the Back to the Futures. Like, I tried to stick to the Back to the Future 3 and pick a constant from that.
It's an unnecessary butt cheek shot. It deserved to be referenced, and let's move on.
It was...
They had to get the ladies or the men into the see the theater, and that's the... If you don't like time travel... Or Westerns, at least you like Michael J. Fox, half butt.
Well, and that's to make up for the gratuitous boob shots we got of his mom in Back to the Future 2. They're like, we got to level this out.
Boob.
We're not that kind of movie, but just to level it out, we're going to do it. It's October 21st.
Yes.
Happy October 21st. We're looking into the future right now. It's not quite October 21st.
We're beyond the future, yeah, of when Biff had his casino.
I can't believe I thought of it too late last night. So I've watched every Back to the Future movie in the last 20 hours, and I can't believe I didn't write down every single date, because we always have these conversations,
yeah.
And I wrote down a lot of them, but the fact that I didn't use this as my definitive
But
log,
October 21st, we know that is when they go to the future in Back to the Future 2, so we know that is that's our solid.
Yes.
I feel good about that.
Yes.
How would you, if we weren't doing this, if it was up to you guys, how would you celebrate Back to the Future Day if you don't have a time machine?
Watching the movies, for sure. Watching the movies.
Maybe playing the game. Maybe I'd bust the game out again, which I haven't done for a while, but that'd be fun. The Telltale Back to the Future game is a lot of fun.
What do you do on May the 4th, Scott, for the Star Wars Day?
We make Star Wars movies.
You make them?
Yeah, we make them with the children's.
Scott.
Yeah.
Grab those three miniature DeLoreans. Not the big one, the three little ones under it.
Those are tiny.
And pass them out. Each of us get one.
Ooh, what do I?
Ooh, I got the old West one. Ari gets classic. Scott, you got the futuristic flyer.
Oh.
There we go. Those are good. Oh my God.
We should put these on necklaces.
We absolutely
so
should.
So the origin of the Back to the Future Day, October 21st, started a while ago, right? It started years ago, before 2015.
I'm guessing someone was celebrating it in 1989.
Right, because the date that they're choosing is October 21st, 2015.
Oh, yeah, they probably started.
Right? And so I'm sure on October 21st in 2015, people probably had a big celebration.
I had an amazing party that day.
Did you?
I got to go to a theater in downtown San Francisco and watch Back to the Future 2 with a packed theater. It was like a rock concert. It was nice. One of the funnest things I've ever done. And everyone was dressed up. And
nice.
But yeah, I never thought of it beyond that. I didn't plan like, you know, like I wasn't celebrating it in 2010, you know, anticipating it. Haven't celebrated it since. But by all accounts, it's an annual event.
What a good excuse for us to do Back to the Future 3. It's been just sitting there waiting because let it be known that Ari may have a slight distaste for the Western genre.
So I've seen 1 and 2, right? Scott and I just watched the second one last night in preparation for this one. But that is correct. I had not seen Back to the Future 3 because it came out in 1990. I didn't see any of the Back to the Future movies when they came out because I was too young.
Yeah.
But I had also heard that the third one was bad and not worth seeing, so I never saw it. Plus, I have a strong distaste for Western movies, so I never saw it.
The love for time travel was beaten down by the hatred for the Western and finishing, questionably, the all-time defining time travel series.
Yeah, but if I had heard it was good, I would have seen it, but I heard it wasn't.
Well, and did it hurt you? Like, at the end of Back to the Future 2, they've always had, I think since the day it was released in the theater, they've always had the mini trailer for Back to the Future 3.
Yeah, I saw in the theater, it did.
So that little mini trailer gives away the whole movie, right? They show the train pushing the car. They show him kissing her on the porch swing. They like give away the whole movie.
Well, and it's also just so it's obvious that it's all a Western. Like maybe if you hadn't gotten that shoved in your face, you would have been like, oh, back to
maybe they go to the West and maybe they would go to like the Days of the Night. So who knows? Yeah.
Yeah. I like the first two. Let's give it a shot.
So yeah, that ruined it for me also. And that for why I didn't see it.
Rewatching it. I mean, we all know this, but Ari and I were alarmed. The number of great Scots that come out of his mouth is alarming. If it was a drinking game, you would be surely very drunk.
There's like number 3 doubles it.
2's got a lot.
No, 2 has a lot.
2 has a
Does
lot.
It?
I don't know which one is more, but every time he said Great Scott, I looked at Scott.
Yeah.
So she hasn't seen any of
the movie. It'll be a great drinking game. In rewatching it also, I mean, I've got to say, you know, I'm a big fan of the series, so we'll nitpick on little things, but like watching it, it reminds me of like Saturday Night Live in the 90s, just the callbacks of doing the same. When you had a character like the church lady that worked or any other skit, you just kind of redo the same jokes. And Back to the Future, at some point, it's just like, it's manure again. Oh, it's him waking up in a bed again. It's when he first goes into a town again. It's just, wow.
Yeah.
There's a lot. The fight when he first gets into town, that always happens with Biff.
Well, and 1 and 3 are mirror images of each other.
Yeah. But 2 still tries to, when he goes to the future, it's still the like, go to the diner, which is the 80s cafe, get in the fight with Biff, go around town, end up at the clock tower.
But it's broken up a little bit. Like it hits the same beats, but not in the exact same time and order.
Yeah, there's 1 and 3 feel a little more on a similar path. 2 is a crazy little roller coaster ride.
Number 2 is so good.
Number 2 is good in the sense of time travel and being fun and what they did, but it is so over the top acted. It's so bad in that sense.
In rewatching it, we were, again, it took it up a notch. One, after watching all 3, 1 is, I mean, for me, is like definitely the best. Is a perfectly created film. Best acted, heart, all that. 2 has some flaws with the script. There's some overacting. There's some parts that are awkward and just not right. But they start going to some fancy time travel theory, right? They start like, at that time, Back to the Future, we're just looking at a time travel film. And now they're going to like, oh, you can't get that Biff because now it's a new timeline and he doesn't exist in the future. You got to go back to the past. Very fancy.
Because did you guys, I always forget about it. We discussed it the first time oh, by the way, everyone out there. So the Back to the Futures are season 1, episode 22 and season 2, episode 1. If you want to listen to our first 2 Back to the Futures rolling into this one. And we're definitely going to cover the whole trilogy a little bit this time. But those are our more in-depth looks at those movies. When Biff disappears, or when he doesn't disappear, but when he's hurt, when he gets back to the future, he goes,
oh, there's extra scenes, right? I've seen this.
Yeah, he goes back to deliver the sports almanac, and then we see him, he shows up, he breaks off his cane, and then he's like and he's like all hurt, and we don't really know what's going on, and they leave it in because the conversation that Marty and Doc are having matters. But there was original cut where he vanishes, but they thought that was getting way too deep into the time travel stuff.
So was he making like dying noises because he was vanishing?
Yeah.
Oh, I always thought he got hurt.
Because he...
That's also foreshadowing.
Because, well, when he goes back to deliver the sports almanac, he's erasing his timeline. Because there's no way Biff of the alternate 1985 lives that long.
Well, he doesn't become that Biff.
Theoretically, the moment that the Biff in 1955 made his first bet or even got the almanac, the old Biff, the one that gave him the almanac, would have disappeared right away. Just like in the picture, or faded away.
Yeah.
Faded away pretty instantly, because any picture or newspaper article, even before the thing happens, it starts to fade away.
Yeah.
So he should have started to
fade
away.
That makes sense.
Pretty instantly.
And that's what he was doing. Like, they didn't show the see-through version of the fading away, but his body is physically starting to give out a little bit. I always think that's very cool.
I have another little fun fact, just because we were talking about it before and I found out. Yeah, go. You want it? Go for it.
Well, I just want to say that 2 weeks ago, as of this, not since, in 2 weeks after we record it, but 2 weeks after we release it, that's where we are now. See, it's all crazy time travel stuff. Ari, how do you feel about your Back to the Future 1 and 2 top 10 placements?
Oh.
I'm going to be honest with you. I am sticking with grouping them together.
Okay.
And I think that they need to be higher up. I think they need... I think I put them in 3. Is that correct?
Well, you can't give them both the same... If they're going to share a spot...
Yeah.
If they're going to share a spot, they can't... They have to share the point value.
So your whole point value is a separate thing, which we have not agreed on, by the way.
Why don't we discuss this later? They don't need to hear the debacle.
No, they just heard the top 10 podcast. So yeah, this is exactly,
I know,
but
our debacle of the point system.
Well, the only thing it changes is everything stays exactly the same, except Back to the Future 2 jumps to number 1.
I still think that we need to come up with parameters. If we're doing a time pop top 10 time travel movies, the three of us need to come up with parameters on which to judge them, not just place points.
This is serious stuff, folks. This is pretty serious. It's a time travel list. We'll figure out the point system later. We could have a whole episode. Our extra episode will be on our scoring, on our point system. We got stuff to talk about. This is what goes on, folks. This is how the Oscars goes every year. There's three people in a room that are like, well, I don't know, Top Gun 2, sure. Yeah, there's a point system.
And so Back to the Future 3, obviously not even on the top 10 list.
For anybody. Oh, yeah. So let's hear. So Ari, this is your first time seeing it. So let's hear it.
I mean, it's exactly what I thought it was going to be. It was a there and back. It was also overacted. It was gritty and stupid and misogynistic, as most Westerns are. That's true. Yeah, there was some fun stuff about it. You know, the pictures and the newspaper articles that fade in and out, that's always cool, you know, for their butterfly ripple effect rule or law for this universe.
Having to do the train is kind of a interesting problem solving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. It's just like all of that was fun. I just didn't like the setting. I just don't like Westerns.
I mean, it's just the same. Yeah. It's the same stuff that most of the movies have in it.
Yeah.
We were talking about this, but they just leave Jennifer on the porch. He puts her in an alleyway in Back to the Future 2. Whoa, it'll be fine. She's in an alleyway in the city. We'll get to it.
In trash. She's literally thrown away in the trash.
Like, what the? Just keep her in the trunk. Is that better? I don't know. Or involve her in the stuff. That maybe is misogynistic about the treatment of Jennifer. Like, have her be the adventure with you. And then, of course, leaving her on the porch.
In that bad neighborhood.
Well, in theory, though, as far as time travel goes, it doesn't matter where you leave her. Like, in the future, that's bullshit, because I know she's going to be there for a few hours. But in 1985, when she's on the porch, that's going to be an instantaneous...
Well, that's what Doc says. He's like, oh, but she'll be fine. Once we change the timeline, she'll change. But in her world, time is moving forward, and she woke up at some point, and things are happening. Like, that timeline is still moving forward for her.
Is there multiple timelines in that?
Yeah, they showed that in the second one.
Forever,
right?
Though? Or do they get...
I'm just saying, it looks like time is always moving. It's like time is not frozen in 2015 when they're doing 755. It's still moving along until it's changed.
Oh, right.
Those people are going on about their business. They're not frozen and waiting. So she wakes up from that porch at some point before they change stuff.
But butterfly effectly,
right?
It's all retroactive.
Right. So even if she had been left on that porch in that bad neighborhood and killed, it wouldn't have mattered because they changed the
past. Except she would have experienced that death. That person would experience it. But yes, in the timeline, that might get changed. But like, she might get killed.
Right. But then
which
she,
isn't pleasant.
It would have changed and she wouldn't have remembered it.
These are the things we think about. Desmond, we were just talking about this. We did the obvious thing that everyone forgets to question every now and then. You're saying, why is Marty's only friend, this like middle-aged crazy doctor.
Yeah.
He has no peers his age, and he hangs out with this guy that's not family related. So did you, have you looked it up?
No.
Okay. I did look it up, and it's a thing that other people were concerned about. And they said Marty and Doc became friends when Marty snuck into his lab as a teen and ended up with a part-time job. So this was from like Bob Gale or Robert Zemeckis. They said he snuck into Doc's lab, was fascinated with the cool stuff. When Doc found him, he was delighted to find that Marty thought it was cool and accepted him for what he was. Both of them were black sheep in their respective environments. Doc gave Marty a part-time job to help with experiments, tend to the lab, tend to the dog, etc.
See, the only problem with that is Marty seems like a pseudo-popular guy.
No.
Like, that's what happens.
He didn't have any... his girlfriend is the only friend he has, it seems like, at school. He's like a slacker. He's late. Not good in his music career, apparently.
I don't know. He seems too capable to be...
Though that he's confident more than his dad, you mean?
Yeah. I guess he's just...
They're trying to portray him as a loser, you know, in the movie. I don't know. I think. But yes, he's still cool because he's our protagonist.
Because in movies, the smartass is never... that uncool.
But he doesn't seem like such a delinquent that he would break into Doc's mansion. Backstory is questionable.
Well, in the 1980s, it's not a mansion. By the time Doc finds it, the only thing that's left is that garage that's in the parking lot of a fucking Burger King, because Doc sold off the other 186 acres of his family fortune. If you watch that's part of the newspaper articles at the beginning of Back to the Future. There's Brown Mansion burns down.
Right.
Emmett Smith sells off, or Emmett Brown sells off 186 acres of, and that's the mall now that is surrounding his
Twin Pines.
And it is no, it's like a mini mall.
Pines? You mean Hidden Valley?
No, I said mall that's surrounding.
Oh, the mall's called Twin Pines.
Well, it is at the beginning of the movie.
All right,
but then Marty runs over one of the pines, and when he comes
Lone
Pines. Lone Pines.
Back to the Future Day!
Back to the Future Day! Back in time.
Gonna go back in time. So I'm just gonna go through my notes in order.
Yeah.
So we're going all the way back to Back to the Future 1.
Okay.
I didn't take a ton of notes, but while we're here, the coffee pot is the only clock in Doc's house that's 15 minutes ahead. I watch when they're doing the opening credits for Back to the Future and you're going over, I don't know, 30, 40 clocks. The only clock that doesn't say 7:53 is his coffee pot. Just thought that was kind of weird. And it's ahead in time. So no matter what experiment he's running on his clocks, which anyone want to take any shots as to what his experiment is at the beginning of Back to the Future, when I have no idea when he calls Marty and Marty says, "You saying all the clocks are 25 minutes fast?" "Yes, my experiment worked."
There's no explanation.
The experiment
if you manipulate fake time, does it affect real time?
Sending all of his clocks forward in time. Oh, and oh my gosh, it was so amazing. At the very beginning of Back to the Future, when he's skateboarding, when he's holding onto the back of the truck, and it's obviously not Michael J. Fox. You know, they're obviously using a stunt double. Super Eric Stoltz stunt double. It's a it's a redheaded stunt double.
Oh no.
It is not the Michael J. Fox stunt double.
Yeah.
I thought that was great.
They said there was foreshadowing in it that you see, I forgot, what movie is it? Is it a Chaplin film or the other silent film guy, that one of the clocks has a guy like hanging from it in the beginning. And I guess that's kind of like foreshadowing to Doc, who's later hanging from the clock tower. If you look at one of the clocks, I believe it's in Back to the Future.
Yeah.
One of the clocks. Yeah. You see someone hanging.
Yep. Totally.
Foreshadowing. I mean, you get given time travel films were not common then. And they do a lot in the script to cover most of their whole, like everything. There's like a reason why everything happens.
Back to the Future 1 is flawless.
Yeah. Well, Don't we have, there's the issue that there's many Martys like in 85, right? There is that issue. Didn't we say that there's like clones of many Martys as this loop
there's
keeps happening?
Copies, yeah. Copies. Yeah.
Only for that 11 minutes.
Well, wait, but then he stays, right? And then that keeps happening. Didn't we figure out like in that town, there might be a lot of Martys, like if you go like a few hours later?
No.
I thought that was a big thing. That was a big loophole we talked about at the end of Back to Future 1.
Yeah, I vaguely remember having that conversation.
85 Marty always goes back to 1955. In 1955, Marty always shows up 11 minutes early. So it's just that.
Right. Okay. But all right. That he's always going to be behind him. Well, 55 came back and he's watching 85 and then he moves on. And then another 55 is going to come back because the Martys keep.
Plus the two that are, you know, running around at the dance and stuff.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
We're saying at the end. Right. So Marty's in 55. He comes back to 85, watches the version that goes back in time, and then he moves on. But that keeps happening.
And instantaneously, that Marty shows up 11 minutes
right,
earlier.
And then there's another Marty that's going to come back and watch that. It's a loop. And there's maybe a lot of Martys running. When you move like a day later, if the Marty that came back to 85 and 55, like he watched himself go back, cool, I'm going home now. That's going to keep looping. And another one is going to come back and go to the home. And if Marty's home, then there'll be two Martys at home, right? Unless they're moving through the timeline in a way that they're only in that time.
No, because it's the butterfly effect will take care of the multiple Martys. Because like...
I'm not sure about that.
Because like when Marty comes back from 1955, because I remember we had this conversation, we did the first one. Like what happens to the nerd George that for 30 years, what... Like is there a version...
Oh, once the timeline got changed?
Yeah.
He just gets... Oh, does he get erased or is there an alternate timeline?
Or is it butterfly affected?
Well, butterfly effect just suggests that there'll be ripples that change all other kind of things.
Which it does, according to the newspapers and the fax machines. It changes in real time. It's not a multiple timeline.
It's funny. I was reading on the Crispin Glover thing and why, you know, he's not in the second and third. And he hated that at the end of the first one, everyone was financially successful. And he's like, if they just had love now, that should have been enough. They don't need money. And it is true. It's just like the whole fact that he goes back and the dad gets more confident. All of a sudden, the kids aren't quote unquote failures because they work at McDonald's. Now they work at a bank, which is a sign of success. And because now they're confident.
I didn't take them as rich. I took them as like they care. Like they love each
other
and they care about their life.
But remember in the beginning, the brother has a McDonald's outfit. At the end, he's got a business outfit.
Well, that's... because he was raised with love and he now has the confidence to go get that job.
Oh, yeah. He was in The Doors. He played Andy Warhol. Oh, Hot Tub Time Machine.
That's right.
He's another two-timer.
Yeah.
The hot tub. He was the guy with the missing arm.
Yep. Right? That's right. He was the bellhop.
How could we forget that?
God, I don't know. One other hilarious thing. I think this is my last note for the first Back to the Future. Marty's using an inkwell to write his letter to Doc in 1955. They had pens like
in 55 or in 85?
In 55. Like they had like Bic pens. Like you didn't have to dip your pen in ink in 1955 to write a letter. So I thought that wasn't it. I think so. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I wasn't around, but I don't think we were using quills anymore in 1955. So
I just feel like one is one of those movies where the script, like, there's just the inciting incident and everything, like, you know, they think they're going to do this in the mission, but then this happens and then they have to overcome. Like, it's just a perfectly made script.
It's everything that pays off is set up.
Yeah. Everything moves it forward.
Yeah.
Well, that's why Back to the Future is known for, you know, as the OG time travel movie or even story, even though it's not. There are other stories before it, but it's always referenced in any time travel movie. It always is referencing the movie or the DeLorean. It's a classic. It will always be one of the best and well-known time travel movies. The first one.
The first.
Do you think they're ever going to remake it?
I mean,
everything's being remade.
Yeah, eventually, yes. Whether it's in the next 5 years or the next 50 years.
Yeah.
I think it will be.
It's funny that, it was supposed to end differently. They're supposed to have Eric Stoltz, right? It was supposed to originally, instead of the lightning, it was going to be like a nuclear power plant, but they didn't have the budget. So they figured the lightning thing.
And in a refrigerator.
It was going to be a refrigerator. Yeah. And it was man from Pluto, right?
Yeah. Now, is that just what they were going to do in 55? That's right. They used it. It was going to be plutonium in 85. But in order to create that jolt in 1955, it was going to be, why not?
But that's so funny. So they changed it to save budget. They did the clock tower and the lightning thing. The clock tower wasn't in the original script. And that became like this like constant, the symbol of all the three films.
Is Biff Tower, is that at the clock tower?
Yeah.
Is the clock still
there? They said he turned the famous clock tower into his casino.
That's right. Is the clock anywhere to be seen on Biff Tower?
I don't think so. I mean, he took down, that's a post-apocalyptic. There's no clock tower.
When I just speed through the Back to the Future movies, like, oh, yeah, I've seen them. I always have Biff Tower in 2015. I always forget that's the alternate 85.
It seems like post-apocalyptic future.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 85.
I'm told, but it's post-apocalyptic present. So great. Bojo. I loved their slang. Michael J. Fox gets called a Hoverboards don't go on water, you bojo.
Oh yeah, making up new. You're talking about the second one, yeah.
In 2015,
yeah. Some of the things in the future are absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
So they made this movie in 1983-ish.
80? No, that one would have been 86, 87. 87.
It came out in like 90, right?
88 and 89. They came out in 88 and 89.
Okay, so they made it in like 85, 86, 87, one of those two. But the prediction that they thought that 30 years into the future was going to be, obviously, you know,
30 years is a lot.
They exaggerate it, but 30 years is not that much.
Right.
Although, you know, technology is exponential, but it's like flying cars, right? Flying hovering cars, that's huge.
Yeah.
And the styles of the clothes, the technology of the clothes, the shoes that close themselves and the jackets.
But yet they had all that technology on their jackets and their shoes, but yet all they did was turn their jeans inside out.
Yeah. Because, you know, fashion is so weird. And then the money, they didn't think they still had paper money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't think that it's going to be all this electronic, you know.
They did get inflation about right when he says, go over and buy a Pepsi. Here's a 50.
Here's a $50 bill.
And there was a restaurant where we're pretty close to like automated food ordering.
Yeah, no waiters.
During COVID, really becoming a thing.
And then the most amazing thing of all, you guys know what I'm about to say.
Maybe.
That they predicted or were very close to predicting.
Oh, about the Cubs.
The Cubs.
Oh, yeah.
Winning the World Series. And they were 1 year off.
1 year
and
off.
And I remember that in 2015 when everyone was talking about like, oh, the Cubs, the Cubs. They were close. Yeah. And then they got it the next year. And it was like, oh, they were off by 1 year. And everyone was making the joke like, where's my flying car? Where's my flying hoverboard? You know?
Yeah, the Cubs win. Come on. It's you predicted it. And my favorite one that I think everybody missed is that like they've all got the really cool glasses. So they've basically got the internet on their face, but there's still only one phone in the house.
Yeah. They didn't have cell phones, right?
Just like, Dad, it's for you.
The instant hydrating pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it still was the video FaceTime phone call.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And when the son is watching cable, he's like, oh, it's channel 109, 309. And like, we do have that many channels now.
Yeah.
That was crazy at the time.
We still had fax machines.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But not just like a fax machine. There was like one in every room.
They were everywhere.
Read my fax.
He had one on his briefcase. There was a fax.
But then he did pay something with a credit card. Remember? He like swiped something.
Yeah, an ID card that has
credits on it.
So there was a lot of fun stuff. And you opened the door with your thumbprint and the lights in the house were voice activated. So there's definitely some fun futuristic.
The product placement is heavy.
Yeah.
In the second one, the Texaco, the Pizza Hut, the Coca-Cola,
Pepsi.
I'm sorry, Pepsi. Pepsi. The Black and Decker, I think, comes in for their like heating thing.
Well, and they even go back in time with the Dustbuster, because I think that's a Black and Decker Dustbuster that he buys.
I wonder if they paid
store.
For those or they just were sticking with all their callbacks.
No, someone definitely paid for
Someone paid for that.
Because it was just too.
It's two in your face.
Yeah. And it's just one product all the time. And the max headroom, like that was going to be the like.
Super sophisticated.
Yeah, what really came out of it.
I feel like the sister, the Michael J. Fox's sister, would be a great Halloween costume. I feel like there's a lot of great Halloween costumes in this movie. So like Doc Brown from the future, the girl, Michael J. Fox as the sister, the mom with the fake boobs.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I was definitely thinking about that. That'd be a huge one. Let's talk about, since we're hovering around this subject, we're just going to get into all three movies.
Yeah.
And the reusing of the DNA lineage. Like,
oh God,
it's really. Having Michael J. Fox play the sister was
so creepy,
so weird. But you know what they would have done if they didn't use Michael J. Fox? And this
is going
to lead into our it would have been Jennifer, which
it's not.
Well,
it's not
I guess
it's
that
would
have
like
made sense.
That would have at least made sense. It's not like we're watching Eddie Murphy and like Meet the Clumps or whatever. Like, but the issue I have is in the third one. So he's following the lineage of his dad, the McFlys. Right. So his dad in the past, actually his dad is Crispin Glover in the past. But when he goes to the 85, his dad is played by himself. But then the mom is played by Leia Thompson again. And it's like, but this is your dad's lineage. So there's no reason, unless your dad goes for people that look exactly, their relatives go for people that look exactly, there's no reason Leia Thompson should play that person's wife if you're following your dad's lineage. It makes no sense.
None at all.
No. She did such a great job. She was so like, she had that like, she's like really high wired and she always has like this nasty, like discerning look at him. She does a great job, but it doesn't make sense. The lineage, but the daughter thing is creepy. And yeah, Jennifer, the kids might look like the mom. It's very possible.
Yeah. That's right.
Whatever. They're just going for the jokes. I mean, it's the...
Yeah, you know, it was supposed to be funny.
And I heard...
It's neat that they show the Clint Eastwood scene in the second one that Biff is watching that scene. And then that's what Marty uses in the movie. Things like that are cool callbacks. All the mechanic, the guy that says he wished he bet on the Cubbies, and you see him being the mechanic in the 50s for Biff. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Obviously, Statler, Goldie Wilson.
Yeah, this is the first time I noticed so many from the Old West.
Yeah.
Like, because they're really subtle in the Old West because they're just
little
tiny wooden signs or, you know, stuff like that. In the future, it's easy to see because it's all futuristic and neon and shit. But this is, you really mentioned it. I was kind of noticing it last night. And then you said something while we were watching three today. Like, the way they hide from each other, it's like a play.
Yeah.
Like, there is so much going on in just the peripheral of all the characters that they don't notice. Like, when Doc wakes up in 1955 after
he fainted when Marty came back, he sent him to the future, and then Marty came back from the future. Then he fainted. Marty took him home, and he walks around talking to his recorder, and Marty's there in the background, and he's just,
Well, not only that, like, Doc, when Doc wakes up, he's looking at him. Like, when Doc sits up, he's basically facing Marty, but then, he spends 15 minutes not realizing he's there at all.
Yeah, right. All right, you'd mentioned that. And even like their spacing. Well, the big one is in the second one when Marty's in the back of Biff's car, sitting up, talking on his walkie-talkie with Biff in the front seat. I don't care if his radio's on. Oh, I'm in the back of the car. Come on.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
That was like,
Biff totally just not a clue.
Yeah, rearview mirror looking right at Marty.
I like watching how animated, like the spacing of all of it. It's always like Doc pacing to the right, and then Marty's chasing after him, pacing to the left, then looking out to the distance and talking.
So Back to the Future 1, Doc Brown, how much does he know? Twin Pines Shopping Mall, 1985. This Doc has not experimented with the DeLorean yet. Does he already know? Does he already have the note in his pocket now, or is that a butterfly effect?
I think they're suggesting what it seems like is that this is the first run of starting a loop. That's kind of how it's projected, right? It's the beginning of a loop, but that also doesn't make sense. It would always be that way. That's what they're portraying. They are portraying like this line started up and now it formed like a loop that will always happen and then go out the line again at the end, right? It's a straight line into a loop going out. It's like a race car track. Straight line into a loop and then coming out. Or maybe it's like a what do you call it when in the road when you go around in the circle?
A roundabout.
It's like a roundabout. It's a straight road coming into a roundabout and then coming out the other side. I mean, it has to have always happened that way. It's like the stimuli wasn't, all the incidences wouldn't be different in any other timeline. But they're suggesting it just started that way. That was the first. And then from then on, it's repeating.
That blows.
That's what they're suggesting. I didn't say my. I think if we're to try to do this scientifically, I think it would have always have to have happened that way. All the same things always happened. Stimuli.
Yeah. Oh, and I love the like I said, like a play, like the Libyans run into a cardboard shack and they're just out of the picture.
He drops the weights in the second one in 55. He drops the weights on the hoodlums and we're done. Like they're going to wake up and they're going to go after someone who's there that they know.
Well, no, but he's gone. They'll all be gone. This was the first time I noticed that. That's a really nice loose end that they tie up to. Like if the punks beat up original 85 Marty, then that Marty won't go forward to become this Marty. And that was good.
That was a good point that you two made in the third one, that he couldn't kill Biff in 85. It would throw off everything that happened.
Yeah. So when at the very end of the third movie, he's fighting the 1885.
Buford Tannen.
Mad Dog.
Tannen. Yeah. And I was like, well, he can't kill him because he's got to be.
I don't think that was even his reasoning. I think it was just he didn't want to be a killer. He doesn't want to kill.
Yeah, it's not who he is.
But you would think Doc would be like, you can't have a shootout with him. All of this in the future won't happen without this lineage.
If he kills you, we're screwed. If you kill him, we're screwed. Like,
so the whole Clara thing, it's really smart that the person that Doc fell in love with the past was supposed to die. So that does not affect any future time stuff. It's smart.
those kids can never leave the time machine. Jules and Vern, they're just a walking paradox.
Their kids born before the kids live will die before the dad's ever born.
Their only chance to procreate is to find someone that dies, go back a year, and woo her. They can't marry.
They're not supposed to be, yeah. Wait, oh, so here's an interesting thought. So Doc Brown had them maybe, let's say, 1885, 1890, somewhere in that field, right? Doc Brown is probably born in what, maybe 1920? He's supposed to be like 30 in the 50s. So like when the kids are 20, they'll meet their dad as a baby, but they'll have their other dad also as an old dad.
I took it as when they got back in the train and the train, and I thought they were going to the future.
No, he said we've already been there.
They said, are you going to the future? He said, no, I've already been there. And then it took off. Like, they're talking about Jules Verne. I think they were going to outer space. I think that's what I took it as. Journey to the Moon and Back.
I think they're going way back.
Well, no, they referenced it. She referenced when he's talking about space and like you can go into space. She's like, oh, you're doing Journey to the Moon and Back, Jules Verne. And then
they're
like,
just going to go live in space, the four of them. Like,
well, they're going to go check it out. I don't know if they're going to live there forever.
That could be the spinoff series. The Adventures of Jules and Verne in Space, who can never procreate. It's so funny. He's so strict about space-time continuum until he meets a woman. And then it's like, nah.
But you're right. I mean, if he's going to do it, yeah. He did it right.
Couldn't they live in the future and be fine with everything?
Oh, right. Because you're not affecting anything.
Yeah,
in the past.
You're not affecting
but
anything.
But you're affecting
the
history of that time. You're something out of your
There's
time.
Still a future ahead of where you
but yes,
travel
it's
through.
Less, I would think it's less paradoxical.
Yeah, going into the future with your family.
But that's, he said he wasn't going
oh,
there.
Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah.
It won't, yeah.
It won't affect the timeline at all.
The, so the original timeline of Clara, so does she just go straight into the marine ravine?
The horses go wild and she falls and dies in the ravine.
Just right there, right before Doc saves her. Then how come on the tombstone it said his beloved Clara?
Because that was from when he went back to 85. Remember they said, you have to pick her up from the station. He said, sure. That was before he knew there was a Clara. When he found that out, he said, oh, I can't go see her. But that was because Marty told him. So originally he goes back to 85. Same things happen. They say, don't forget, you got to pick up the teacher. He says, sure. Then he meets her, falls in love with her, gets shot in the back. But now in this new one, Marty came back, said, hey, there's a Clara that this is from. And he goes, oh, I can't meet her.
But why was it named Clayton Ravine then?
So why was, if he saved her.
Oh, when, right.
And she didn't go into the ravine.
Once he got back, it probably wasn't called Clayton Ravine anymore. It's just that Marty hadn't looked into that at that point. Marty would have been the only one to know that it was Clayton Ravine. Once Doc went back and it was changed. Did it say Clayton Ravine in the... No, yeah, not in any place.
Yeah, he didn't... When we were in that 1955, they never looked at the ravine.
We can assume. We would assume that they fell in love.
But he still knew what it was. Marty still knew what it was when he went back in time. Therefore, it is called
It
Clara.
Was that before...
It's not a butterfly.
He knew that from his childhood. He knew it from his childhood was Clayton Ravine. Not since Doc went back to 85. It's 1885.
Clayton Ravine.
It's because she originally fell in there. But once Doc was back there, he saved her in both scenarios. And then they fell in love.
So then it was called something else. But he didn't know of it as
because
something else because
back
he went
for
back.
For a day. So funny for us. We watch Back to the Future and it seems like such, oh, Marty's had such an epic whatever amount of time. And it's like, for him, that was probably the equivalent of 3 days. He did all that in like, I think 3-4 days.
No, no. Well, because he was in 55 for a week. He was in...
How come he just said, I feel like I was here yesterday? Oh, you're right. He was there for a week.
Because in 1985...
Right, got it.
It was yesterday.
Okay, so he was there for a week.
I think it's 2 weeks.
In the future, it was just like a day or two.
Yeah.
Then he's back in 55 for a day or two. And then the Old West for a few days.
I think he was there for a week. He was there for a week. He got there on the 1st. They left on the 7th. So it's
been a big month for him.
15 days tops.
But it does, I you know, at the end of 3, he because he's in love and she says, oh, the thing on the paper vanished on the fax. Yes, the future is whatever. It hasn't been written yet. So make it a good one. It's like, well, you've been there. You know that things have happened in the future. I mean, it's a way to end a series. You want to end on a positive note.
Something that only jumped out at me because I went and saw the original Jaws at the movie theater a couple weeks ago. So in the original Jaws, you're watching kind of a not a super big scene. They're out on the boat. It's towards the end. They're hunting the shark. And this shooting star shoots across. And it's really weird and it's really vivid. And it got me thinking, I was like, I think they caught a fucking shooting star, like live. Like, that was really weird. And then another one goes by. I came back and did a little research. And that's kind of a Spielberg thing to slip shooting stars into his movie.
Oh,
real ones or CG ones?
CG ones. I mean, if he could film real ones, he would. But yeah, that was one of the things when he was a kid, like his dad woke him up to watch shoot Meteor Shower.
Was DreamWorks made by Spielberg? Did he launch DreamWorks?
I don't know. Oh, yeah, totally. But there's a big one anyways. The reason I bring it up is because when Doc and Clara first kiss, there's a big shooting star. And I wouldn't have had second thoughts about it if it wasn't for my Jaws viewing.
Yeah, the founders, Spielberg's one of the founders of DreamWorks. Okay. So the catching a star and the moon thing, that's right. It's on par. It's on brand.
And Clara spent in this new future, Clara almost spends 2 whole days in Hill Valley before she's the school teacher. She's the only hope for educating Hill Valley. And she says, fuck it, I'm going to San Francisco.
She has one date. She falls in love. He's got to break it off. And she's out.
She's gone.
This one date, this is the love of her life in that one date. They've expressed their love to each other. It's not working out. She's leaving town. Even though he's not going to be there, he's leaving too. Could just stayed.
Yeah. Well, and of course, the obvious question, why don't him and Marty just bug out of town? They can put the time machine on 4 horses and just ride 100 miles away, and all of their problems are solved. Whether they get the time machine to work or not, Doc doesn't get shot, Marty doesn't have to have a shootout, and it's just done.
Should we talk about the science of the third one? Is that, I guess it's the same as everything else. I don't know, the time travel.
Gasoline, combustion engines.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I like the idea of the gas. That's really cool. And the gasoline runs out and it looks pretty hopeless. And then they decide to have a train push it. That's kind of, it's neat.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot that could go wrong with it, obviously. And if they always have just enough space to do it, whatever, in the first one before he runs into the movie theater. And there's just enough space to like go through that drive through to get to the Old West, and just enough space before the train breaks. It's always, we're just talking about such high tension. It's always like by the nanosecond.
And
it's
unnecessary.
Unnecessarily. And it's always the tension is just holding up so long, and then they're late, and then it's the cut of the clock and the car and the clock and the car, the train, and she's falling. And they're good. They're good at the tension. That's a Spielberg thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's good at tension.
Ari loved the 80s version of tension in movies and how they don't drag it out at all. And they just get to the point.
You totally drag it out.
that train scene when Clara and Doc are climbing towards the DeLorean. I mean, that was 15 minutes. Like from the time that they hook the DeLorean up to the train and they get it up to 88 miles per hour.
You have to admit, like no one's probably at that time, no one has done anything like that with a train on a track and hanging off the end. You know, in this day and age, we've seen it all.
That's
so
true.
To like create that tension and impress the audience, you got to come up with like the crazy, you know, 2 airplanes in mid, you know. So yeah. Back then, a train on a with a car on a track and the time limit on it was probably very exciting.
It's true. And it's because of Back to the Future that we can now get to the point because we have that reference point.
Yeah.
But we get it.
For us. And
that's a good point. We're dead inside, huh? Like, you know, I remember when the first Mission Impossible trailer came out.
Oh.
You see one of the stunts just in the trailer and you're like, whoa. And the next one had to do like more than that or whatever. And like now.
Oh, yeah. We're desensitized.
You're like the person that looks at like weird porn and can't get turned on by anything. Like, I've seen everything.
Ari could see a real time machine and she's like, I get it.
Yeah. How do you get, like, in an action film trailer, like, what it takes to impress us is like explosions are like, nah.
Yeah. We just have to one up.
Yeah.
Know,
that train crash was beautiful, beautiful train crash. Oh. The third one.
Do you think they actually crashed a train off that bridge?
They did like something. I don't know if
the
it
explosions
was...
were fake on top of it, but the actual crash looks pretty.
I feel like it was at least a large model. Like it wasn't like a tiny model. Like maybe it was a 6 foot.
It was definitely a train, but it probably wasn't that actual steam engine.
Yeah, right. No.
Yes. To crash. A different train. Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not the old.
They drove something off a cliff.
Yeah. It's like when you see in old movies when they actually crash like a classic car.
Oh
my heart hurts a little bit. I was like, ooh.
When
no.
They destroy that DeLorean at the train, that was kind of hard to watch.
But I don't even think that was a real DeLorean.
I
there was too much interior. It looked like garbage. Like,
yeah.
And there were no seats. You didn't see the seats fly around. I don't think at least.
Well, they would have, whether it's a DeLorean or something, they would have emptied it. Like it would have been a shell, whether it was a DeLorean shell or a Honda Civic shell.
You know, you hear about the rich people out there in the world that like spend a lot of money on like ridiculous artifacts. Like if I was one of those, I would absolutely buy like a Back to the Future DeLorean.
Fuck
I
think yeah.
How Arizona many same. DeLoreans exist in the world?
I don't. Just DeLoreans are like ones from Back to the Future.
Just DeLoreans.
Yeah, DeLorean. I know there's been a few people over the years that have gotten a DeLorean and then turned it into look like the Back to the Future car.
I would, if I was like an eccentric rich person, I would have one yeah. of those. I would also try to have an Adam West Batmobile.
Yeah.
That's it. I wouldn't have to have 20 Ferraris. I don't need all like, and this, that, but I want a Batmobile and a DeLorean.
There is an estimated 6,500 DeLoreans floating around the world. There was only 9,000 made.
Wow.
That's
in
crazy.
The history of time.
Ever.
I saw in the fun facts, let's Back to the Future, that the John DeLorean like thanked the movie. Thanked yeah. them for making the movie to portray it in such a nice light, because it's thought about as like a cocaine binge filled creation that failed.
The car was?
Yeah.
Oh.
I watched the DeLorean documentary on Netflix recently, and like, yeah, the whole cocaine thing really blew it out of water, but it was just one bad manufacturing bad decision after another. But like, he was like the Tesla of his time.
Yeah,
like
totally.
Originally, like he wanted it to be, I think, even electric, or at least like, you know, I think he made it so light out of aluminum so that it would the gas mileage would yeah. be huge. Like he was
and
trying
no
to
other
do something cool.
Car at the time had doors like that.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, those doors are just so cool. I know they're incredibly like impractical, but didn't Tesla try to do similar doors recently and it was a
they
failure?
They do have them.
No,
the
they
cars.
Do have them, and Tesla fixed it because they kind of go up and out. So you don't have to park 10 feet away yeah. for people next to you.
Oh my God, that's a really good point.
Yeah. Because you wouldn't be able to open.
You couldn't park.
In a parking lot, yeah.
Design flaws.
Yeah, you'd need to park on the white line so you had all that extra space.
But it is really cool when they open those doors. And not to mention, they keep those doors open so many times throughout all the three movies. Yeah. Whenever they park DeLorean,
oh
they
God.
Just keep the doors open.
Back to the Future 2, they are so careless. They just keep, even one time Biff stole it, the other time he didn't, but they just leave the car open. You just lock, if you have a regular car, you just lock it.
Yeah.
Let alone a time-traveling DeLorean out of its place with all your stuff in it and your only chance of getting back. Come
on. I mean, look at all the Tranks, Lobos, and Zip Heads there are around yeah. here. I mean, you're going to lock that fucking thing up. These people are nuts. Okay, Ari. You have a time machine.
Yes. No, the answer is yes.
It only goes to 1850.
Oh.
That's
wow.
it.
Wow. Good
That's
question,
it.
For Ari.
You can use it as much as you want. You can come
1885.
And go. It doesn't go in the future. All it does is bring you back to where you started, but it only takes you to the Old West, basically.
You could drive to like see Chicago or New York in that time, maybe. Well, you could see a city then. It would be stuck in a Western.
I mean, it was so bad back then for women, for anyone of color. Like, absolutely not. Like, why would I want to go back to somewhere where there is not modern medicine? There is not indoor plumbing. I mean, maybe there was in like New York. Was there even? No, it was just, no. Maybe if it was like going to see New York or London, 1885. Or...
Oh, London would be so, it would just be black.
Yeah, it's a terrible, terrible time. It's
That's why the West would be, I mean, I guess you're right. I mean, as a woman, you don't have a whole lot of options.
No.
But in the Old West, at least it would still be clean. Like, it wouldn't be totally manufactured yet.
I mean, as far as like pollution in the Industrial yeah. Revolution. Yeah, but you got like, it's just sand and dirt and desert and
there's just not much going for you. Yeah.
Smell really you could, bad. And
But you could live next to a fresh stream and just rinse yourself off every day.
What is she going
to
do all day? She's not going to, you're not traveling as much.
Yeah.
You're just stuck in your tiny ass town. She's not working.
Learn how
all you can do
crochet?
Is drink whiskey.
But again, you have the time machine. You're not just, I'm not going to send you back to 1850 forever. No, you get to keep this. So you could come back to 2020, pack a lunch. But the only place you get to visit is 1850.
So I would experiment with going back in time and doing whatever I could in my power to help the Native Americans.
There you go.
I would go back, give them guns, warn them, whatever the hell I have to do. Go to the future, see how it turned out. Not great. Go back. I would. That's what I would do. I would go back and try to save the Native Americans.
Awesome. Good for you, Ari.
Maybe help the women out, too.
I'd go back and have a picnic. I'm the worst. I'm such a white
You'd
man.
You'd get so sick off the food probably from that time.
No, but I get to bring it from here. I'm telling you, this is my...
Yeah, but I bet you the food and the air and the water quality, even though they didn't have filters, was probably really
be used to it.
Great back
oh,
then.
Great.
Oh, yeah. You get a fresh spring water and the air would be awesome. As long as you're not, right next to a a manufacturing plant that's just blowing unfiltered smoke in your face.
Yeah, when he was walking into Hill Valley in 1885, I was like, oh, this is doesn't have many benefits. If he gets stuck here, that's not...
I mean, that was a rough time for people, for, you know, Americans back then. People in America, I can't call them Americans. They were all immigrants.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, people in America.
It was a rough time.
William McFly, the first American-born McFly. What a guy. He's an American now.
I do like how they made the ancestors Irish, right? Because they're Micks.
Yeah. Yeah, very true.
And I can say that because I am also a Mick.
Are you a Mick?
Yeah, my dad is a Mick. I just don't have his name.
Awesome. I'm a Mick niece, and my mom's maiden name is McFarland.
So you are true through and through.
Mickety Mac.
Total Mick.
All day.
Any other thoughts on the third one? I mean,
watching all three of them in a row, I enjoy the third one. If I just was going to throw on a Back to the Future movie and I haven't watched any for a year and I threw on three, I'd be really disappointed. But as a trilogy, I think it plays well. Like, do you, even as a wet, like as a Back to the Future trilogy, Ari, like, did you feel like this is fine? Or
I did like all of the things that happened. They went somewhere, their machine got ruined, they had to figure out how to get back. That stuff is fun. It's just the setting for me is just like, you know, it's doesn't make sense. I just don't like it. But all the other stuff was really fun. The problem solving on how to get back to the future.
Yeah.
That was super fun and exciting.
Their character swap a little bit. It was fun to hear.
But, you know, Scott probably heard me. I did a big old like sigh with eye roll when they were doing their like shoot off, you know, just like, come on.
It's wearing a Western dressing, but it's the same film.
Yeah.
It's the Biff bad guy. It's the get it fixing the car.
Yeah.
It's the same film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's fine. I mean, for our scoring, we could just call it the series and have that its own thing, if that makes it easier for
all
us.
All three of them?
And like in our lists of top 10, we could say Back to the Future series, if that makes it better.
I think that's a good idea.
I can be, now that I've seen all three, just lumping the two in, I was like, I don't know.
For the sake of things, I'm open to that. I still think one sticks out as a classic, and two and three are just...
See, and I like two better because there's more time travel in it.
I know, but it's not a better... It's better time travel experience, but it's not a better film.
You've seen my list.
I've seen you. That's true.
There's no films on my list.
Yeah, Desmond doesn't judge it by...
Yeah, we were saying, Ari and I were talking about that, like better film or acting, but for cooler time travel stuff, yeah, the second one obviously has a little more to chew on.
So the reason why I wanted to lump them together was because one and two complement each other, right? For me, one is a better movie as far as, you know, the story and the acting, but two does have more time travel.
Then we might as well just do the whole series.
More intricate. Yeah. So to me, one and two really complement each other and are needed. I'm fine with putting all three together, but we could talk about that another
day. That's another. We'll get back to the list.
Yeah, it reminds me, they were the first to do that. And The Matrix did the same thing. Its own first film was its own thing. And then they shot two to three back to back. And they made up a whole new story, which they did for this too. The story arc had been covered. So now they made up this whole thing that only starts in Back to the Future 2 about him not being called chicken, right? That was...
Yeah.
And then at the end, it all comes into three where he doesn't do any of the chicken things and he doesn't ruin his hand and his whole life is great. And that's like their new arc. Essentially, the new arc is just like, don't get your head up your butt if someone calls you chicken. There's so many more things going on in the first one.
Well, because what I didn't really think of this. I mean, it's obvious, but I was listening to a little bit of a documentary of Back to the Future 3 when you guys got here, and like how Back to the Future 1, it's George McFly's arc, really.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, and then so then when 2 came around, they're like, shit, okay, what's Marty's arc? And then that's when the whole kind of chicken thing came in, and the for not being able to play the guitar and all that stuff.
That's a great point. I mean, it's really about his dad's own failure and turning to a coward kind of goes in, like his own shame goes in the family. They're not confident. They're all awkward. And once that's fixed, it kind of sends this nice little ripple effect. And now it's Marty's thing about having like a chip on his shoulder.
Because his great, great, great grandpa, he's cool.
Yeah. But the brother didn't like anyone calling him chicken, the one that Marty was named after.
Yeah, that's right. That's
the one
right.
That died, right?
Yeah. See, so many little, they connect all the dots.
So good.
Yeah.
So great.
Yeah. The whole as a series, I could see it.
Happy October 21st, everybody.
Woo-hoo!
Oh my God.
Happy Back to the
Future
Day.
I want it to be a bigger holiday. I want parades with DeLoreans. I want everyone to like all the restaurants to serve, pretend like they're from the 50s
or
something.
I want to throw a party like Stephen Hawking did.
Yes.
What if we, like, on Back to the Future Day, we had, like, a decade-changing party, and, like, every hour the decade flips?
Every hour? How do you do that?
5 o'clock, it's the 50s.
Oh, it goes the for 6 o'clock, 60s.
6 o'clock is the 60s. And then, like, 7 o'clock.
How would you do that? Just play I don't know how to do it.
We'd all have to be, you'd have to, like, there'd have to be, like, it starts off like checkered, like deck over the 50s. Then, when 60s, we put tapestries over everything.
And then wallpaper in the 80s.
Yeah. Oh, it's a lot of work, but it's like a.
I think just a Spotify playlist, like Ari said. I think that's.
How about you just play 60s music and we call it fine?
Yeah.
Totally. When it's the 70s, you start having some fondue. And
but
like,
it could be fun to throw a party and say, come dressed as your favorite era. So, like, you could come. Ooh. As a cowboy, if it's the 1880s, you could Jane come Austen in the crap. 60s.
Oh, yeah.
You just, you know, like...
build, like, a cool entrance. Like
And you could call it, like, Time Traveler's Party, and you're traveling, and you have to stay in character the whole time.
And you contribute something, maybe not significant from the era. Like, I don't know, whenever, like, martinis were invented, if that's your era, or, like I said, it was 70s, you could bring some fondue. I think that's when that got big.
So if I were to throw a Time Traveler's Party, what era would you show up as, Scott?
Tough guy. I've gone through different phases of them in my life. I mean, in my high school years, I did have a James Dean complex. But everyone in the 80s was obsessed with the 50s. But now I don't identify with that anymore. For me, I'm fascinated with the late 60s. I'm fascinated with the counterculture movement of the late 60s. I'm not saying I identify with hippie, but a lot of cool shit was going on in the 70s.
Yeah.
I mean, the funk and the disco and the blaxploitation films and the birth of punk and the beginnings almost of hip hop.
You wouldn't do 80s? Your 80s?
I lived the 80s.
Oh, that's true.
I find the late 60s, well, I'm thinking time travel. Late 60s, I find the most fascinating. In terms of what I would identify with, that's, I guess, another story.
It's just what you would want to do. And, you know, time travelers can come from the future.
Oh, now we're getting somewhere.
What if we just
had
a future party? Come as your interpretation of the future.
Probably 80s or 90s.
80s or 90s?
Like, I probably would. I'd probably go with something I kind of know and just want to step back into for a little while.
For me, it would either be the 1920s or the future.
Oh, yeah. You got a 20s party coming up.
We went to that.
Oh, you did that already?
Yeah. By the way, that felt like a time travel experience. It was really amazing.
Really?
We went to a Gatsby-themed picnic, and everyone, they're really strict about it. You have to come dressed as, like, the 20s, and you can't have things out of its time. They don't want you to bring coolers. You can't you drink out of plastic. You got to bring out a glass. And so everyone there, we walked in there, and it's this big open field, and there's old cars.
Wow.
Super old, amazing. And then everyone's sitting around picnicking, and they've got the Gatsby hats and the old suspenders. And everyone's got those, like, silver trays that have different layers on them with, like, finger snacks. And everyone's drinking out of glasses and stuff and making, like, cocktails.
And it was fun. And you could definitely, like, if you wanted to, you could be like, oh, yeah, we traveled. We did a little time traveling and we're back in the 20s. It was fun.
Yeah. The band playing was playing. It was. I felt like time traveling was really great.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, you out there, I hope you celebrated today however you want to. I've been celebrating. You guys don't know it yet. But I've been celebrating by Instagramming about Back to the Future all month long. That's how I'm going to spend my October and getting to this very day that we're in now.
Yes.
So thank you all out there for participating. And please tell a neighbor, tell a friend, tell a coworker, tell someone about this great show. Get some friends together, watch some Back to the Future, listen to the podcast, join us for this glorious holiday festivities. That we will be celebrating over and over again in perpetuity.
Woohoo!
And check out our list, right? Our top 10 time travel list that we're putting out there. It took a lot of time and hard work. If you haven't seen them, check it out.
And everything on our list, we have a podcast for. That wasn't a rule, but it just so worked out that everything that we talked about. So you can watch it and join our conversation. And send us some emails. timepoppod@gmail.com. That is timepoppod@gmail.com. We would love to hear your thoughts on movies we've done in the past, movies we should do in the future. I'm going to say it. I want 2023 to be all request year, but it's going to take you out there.
It's so weird to hear you say 2023. It's coming. It's going to be here soon.
How would you dress if it was a 2023 party, Ari? Would you wear a silver jumpsuit?
Is that officially
and
the
a
future?
Gas mask?
And silver jumpsuit and a gas mask. That's great. COVID mask.
And head over to whatsoundsawesome.com. That is where you can find our top 10 list in form. We won't talk about the group top 10 list. That's another issue. But we're going to leave my goofy numbered system intact for now. Just because I think it's fun, but you can look at our individual list there. That is at whatsoundsawesome.com, and you can find other fantastic podcast to listen to while you're waiting for the next Time Pop.
Yeah.
I have been Des. I have been Desmond McNeese.
I have been Ariel.
I have been and will be Scott Lifton.
Great Scott.
That was heavy.
Oh, you beat me to it. Make stuff up. We can just biff off each other. No, let's all act a little different today.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
Stop being so difficult.